the sick woman cured, and Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. Chapter 35. Upon a bed in one of the homes of Capernaum lies a 12-year-old girl, and this child is seriously sick. She is dying. The bright red color upon her face shows she has a high fever, and her breath is short and fluttering. At times she groans softly as her hands searchingly grasp the blankets. Restlessly, she turns her head upon the pillow, and which is wet with perspiration. The mother, who sits at the child's bedside, has eyes swollen and red, caused by much weeping. The heart of this woman is rent by anxiety and grief. If only she could help her child. If only she could relieve her darling. The father also stands by his child. Nervously he wrings his hands together. Neither can he do anything for her. He, too, stands helplessly by. And with speechless anguish, this parental couple watch at the deathbed of their only child. The father is Jairus, doubtless a Pharisee. He is the ruler of the synagogue, the man who has charge of leading the divine services in the synagogue. He is honored and respected in Capernaum. He had only one child, a girl. Surely these parents surrounded their daughter with love. And now this girl is dying. Any moment she may expire. Then death, which spares no one, will tear her from their hearts. Is there no deliverance? Not anywhere. Must they watch and helplessly see their only daughter die? Jairus hears that Jesus has again arrived in the city. The previous night, Jesus and his disciples had sailed to the other side of the sea. As you know, a storm had raged during the night. And on the following morning, the Lord had cured the man of Gadara, who was possessed with the devils. But because the herd of 2,000 swine had plunged into the sea and drowned, the Gadarenes request Jesus to depart from them. Without objecting, the Lord Jesus sailed away with his disciples. They sailed across the sea and went on shore at Capernaum. There, a great multitude awaited him. The inhabitants of Capernaum had gone to the shore of the Sea of Gennesareth with the hope Jesus would soon return, because Luke says the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Suddenly, a man is seen rapidly approaching. Respectfully, the multitude moves aside, and they all know who he is. He is the ruler of the synagogue, and they see him every Sabbath day. As soon as Jairus comes to Jesus, he falls upon his knees before the great prophet of Nazareth. Jairus had left the deathbed of his child. When he heard Jesus had again arrived in Capernaum, he decided to go to Jesus as the only remedy. Undoubtedly, he also was present when the elders of the Jews asked Jesus if he would cure the servant of the Roman centurion. We told you about that in chapter 26. Do you still remember it? At that time, the request was made for another person. However, now he decides to call in Jesus to help his own child. See him running in nervous haste through the streets of Capernaum toward the shore of the lake. Haste is necessary. His daughter can die at any moment, and then it will be too late. There he lies at the feet of Jesus. No doubt, at no other time would he have bowed before Jesus, but now that the life of his only child is at stake, he must do it. Jairus implores Jesus to go with him immediately. Listen to what he says. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hand on her, and that she may be healed, and she shall live. Although he believes Jesus has the power to cure his child, still, Jesus must lay his hand upon her. There is a great difference between Jairus and the Roman centurion. The centurion said, "Only say one word, and my servant shall be healed." Thus, this Roman centurion believed Jesus could deliver his servant from death by speaking one word. No doubt Jairus also heard of this, but here the ruler of the synagogue asks Jesus to go with him. The faith of the centurion was greater than the faith of Jairus. Immediately, Jesus complies with the fear-stricken father's request, for he gets up and goes with him. The multitude sees and hears all this, and they too go with Jesus. And they must be there. That is something they want to see. Everyone tries to keep as near to Jesus as possible. Later, and when they reach Jairus' home, they desire to see more readily what takes place. They keep pushing closer. Yes, Luke says the people thronged him. They press against him from all sides. The procession goes toward the house of Jairus. The father, who is filled with fear, thinking it may be too late, and would like to even run. For him, it is going too slow. Suddenly, Jesus stands still. Why? Something has happened. Do you know what it is? Listen attentively. In our thoughts, we will look back 12 years. About the same time, a little girl was born in the home of Jairus. A woman of Capernaum became sick. She went to a physician. He gave her medication, which did not help. She remained sick. Again and again, she went to different physicians. But no matter what she did, nothing helped. Her sickness could not be cured. She spent all her money on medicine. But instead of her sickness getting better, it became worse. Many years passed by. No doubt from the beginning, this woman hoped the physicians could cure her. It was a great disappointment when she realized nothing helped. She sacrificed everything with the hope of recovery, but all was in vain. She already has been sick for 12 years. Some people think Jesus purposely passed her home while he was on the way to Jairus' home. Recently, this woman heard much talk about Jesus. The many miracles which had been performed everywhere have not been hidden from her. Why doesn't she go to Jesus and ask him to cure her? Doesn't she believe in his ability? Yes, that she does, but she is afraid to go to Jesus because she is ashamed of her sickness. Besides, she is considered unclean due to her disease, therefore she is not allowed to walk among the people. She believes Jesus is able to deliver her from her dreadful disease, but She does not dare go to this great prophet. But now, on this day, she hears that Jesus and a great multitude of people will pass her home. Will she let this opportunity go by? She is undecided. She doesn't know what to do. If she goes to him, she will have to tell her trouble. Many of the Jews of Capernaum will hear about it. No, and she dare not tell it. And still, what must she do? See her leaving her home. Slyly, she pushes her way among the people. In so doing, she walks directly behind the Lord Jesus. She hastily bends down and touches the border of his garment. Why does she do this? She positively believes Jesus can help her. Her faith in the almighty power of this prophet is so firm, she doesn't doubt that she shall be cured even though she only touches the hem of his garment. In this firm faith, she bends down and with her trembling fingertips touches the garment of Jesus, and she is cured. She can feel it in her body. What the doctors vainly had tried to do for 12 years has been performed in one moment. Quietly, this woman turns about and tries to withdraw unnoticed. No one has noticed her. No one has seen what she has done. But, to her great fright, Jesus suddenly stands still and asks, "Who touched me?" She remains silent. Her heart pounds violently. She feels she has done something which she should not have done. She was unclean and still forced herself through the crowd. Besides, she had touched the great prophet. Oh, no doubt, he has become terribly angry with her because anyone who comes in contact or is touched by one who is unclean, that person becomes unclean. For this reason, she remains silent. Peter looks at his master in astonishment and says, "Lord, how canst thou ask that? The multitude throng thee. Each moment one person or another pushes against thee. How canst thou then ask, 'Who touched me?' Isn't it natural that thou art touched?" What Peter says is the truth. The multitude continuously touched the Lord Jesus. But the Savior answers, "No, I do not mean that. All these people touch me accidentally. But there has been one who has touched me purposely. I felt it, for virtue is gone out of me." Ah, Jesus knows very well who touched him, for he is omniscient. He could point to her and say, "You did it." However, he does not say it. No, this woman must say what happened and why she did it, so that God would be glorified. For this reason, she must be revealed. Probably the Lord Jesus looked at her. This woman sees, and she no longer can remain hidden. With flushed face and trembling body, she comes to Jesus, stammering shyly, "Master, I did it." Then she tells everything, how 12 years before she had become sick, how she had spent all her money on physicians and medicines, and that up until now it had been in vain. Instead of improving, she had become worse. She also tells how she was immediately healed by touching the garment of Jesus. She stands before Jesus and with her eyes cast down. Will he be angry with her? Will she receive a scolding from him? No, it exceeds her expectations. It always exceeds the expectation of those who in truth seek their refuge in Jesus. The Savior answers kindly, "Daughter, be of good comfort, and thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Oh, surely this woman was grateful. She was not put to shame. Children, may you too humbly confess your sins before God. May you with tears pray and ask Him for grace and mercy. You surely would be very happy if the Lord would say to you, "Be of good comfort." The faith of this woman was great. She did not request Jesus to lay his hands upon her. She believed that a touch of his garment was sufficient for her cure. This is an example of humiliation. However, there is one in this multitude who is filled with fear and impatience. This man is Jairus. He was happy Jesus immediately had gone with him, because each moment it could be too late. But now this delay has taken place. He would like to have cried out, "Master, please do not stand still. Come and walk on." Although he doesn't say those words, he thinks them. How are things at home? Is his only child still alive? Will he see his daughter alive? He knew she was in a serious condition, and there wasn't a moment to be lost. But now this must happen. It seems as though everything must go against him. Suddenly, he turns pale, for while Jesus is talking to this woman, a few messengers push through the multitude and stand before Jairus. Undoubtedly, the wife of Jairus has sent them. They bring the ruler of the synagogue a dreadful message. "Your daughter is dead," they say. Jairus is affected very deeply. His eyes fill with tears. Too late. His child, his only child, is dead. The messengers also add this to their message: "Do not trouble the master." They mean, the Lord Jesus need not come now. It is too late. There is no more helping. The heart of Jairus is torn with grief. However, the Lord Jesus also hears these words. He knows what is going on in this deeply bereaved father heart. Jesus will encourage Jairus. "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole," the master says to the heavily grieved father. Jesus means, "Jairus, do not become discouraged, for I am the Almighty One, the King of Kings. I rule over life and death. If you believe that, your daughter will be made whole. For man, deliverance for your child now has become impossible. But for me, nothing is impossible." The procession again begins to move. Without any further delay, they finally approach the home of Jairus. From far, they can hear loud sounds of lamentations coming from the house of the deceased. Is the mother crying so loudly? Why, no. Those who truly grieve do not make so much noise. Those who really are sorrowful weep quietly. Those who act most upset emotionally at a funeral are the ones who forget the sorrow the soonest. Remember this, children, and take notice. When someone died, it was the custom in the land of Canaan to hire wailing women. They earned money with their lamentations. Their sorrow was not real, of course not. It was self-made sorrow. After the funeral, they would gather together the money which they had earned and go away, quickly forgetting everything else. We may think this a bit strange, but it was the regular custom there. For this reason, wailing women were present here in the home of Jairus. Jairus enters his home, followed immediately by the Lord Jesus. Only three of his disciples are permitted to enter with him. They are Peter, James, and John. The other disciples must remain outside. The people also may not enter the house of mourning. As soon as the Lord Jesus enters the house, he says to the wailing women, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." A mocking laugh rings out. They think it is foolishness of the Lord Jesus to say such a thing. Everyone can see a dead one lies there, can't he? Isn't it the truth what Jesus says? Does the girl only sleep, and will she awaken shortly refreshed? No, she really is dead. But why does the Lord Jesus say she sleepeth? By this he means, do not weep so loudly. It is not necessary. I am able to raise her from the dead. Same as you can cause one to awaken from sleep, so shall I make this child rise from the dead. You think you can earn something here, but you may as well leave this house. There is nothing here for you to earn. They will not leave the house, for they do not believe Jesus. Therefore they laugh mockingly and refuse to go. Soon they are driven out of the room by Jesus. Now they must obey. They leave the house, probably grumbling to themselves. The door is shut behind them. Jairus, his wife, Jesus, and his three disciples are the only ones present. The Son of God goes to the bed upon which the young daughter is lying. He takes the girl by her hand as she lies pale and motionless upon the sheet. He says, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." At the same moment, the child opens her eyes and sits upright. She leaves the bed and walks to and fro in the room. This is the second time Jesus returned life to one who was dead. The first was the young man of Nain. Motionless, Jairus and his wife stand and watch what takes place. We read in Mark, they were astonished with a great astonishment. "Give her something to eat," Jesus commands them. They do so. The child eats that which is placed before her. Now remember, do not speak to anyone about this miracle, commands the Lord Jesus. Jesus and his disciples leave the home of this ruler of the synagogue. The people move aside for them. However, you can readily understand this miracle could not remain hidden. Naturally, The wailing women returned, and they see the child is alive. Soon the people also hear what has taken place inside. In a short time, the entire city of Capernaum knows the daughter of Jairus was raised from the dead. It isn't long before the entire country talks about this unusual miracle. The people reverence Jesus and honor him as a great prophet. The Jews marvel about it, but do not acknowledge Jesus as the Savior, as the long-promised Messiah, as the Son of David. They are impressed by the miracles, but this impression soon leaves them. Later, the same people will shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" until their throats are hoarse. Knowing this, Jesus says, "Do not speak to anyone about it." It is true, this miracle was great, but it was not the greatest. Do you know what is much greater? That the King of Kings came upon this cursed earth to give his life and to pour out his blood for sinners. That he would enter death for his elect in order to deliver them from eternal damnation. This is the greatest wonder. However, the many Jews did not trouble themselves about this fact. In spite of all these things, most of them rejected him. This was bad, very bad. By their vile unbelief, and they despised the only remedy given for salvation. And what do you do, boys and girls? Does not this same unbelief live in your hearts too? Oh, may you pray to the Lord to cast out of your hearts this unbelief. May he give you saving faith. Finally, they all go away. That night, there is much happiness in the home of the ruler of the synagogue. This parental couple has received as a gift from the Lord their only child, raised from the dead. The hearts of Jairus and his wife are filled with deep respect for the great prophet of Nazareth. God's word does not reveal whether they also learned to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Let us hope it was so. More I cannot say, for the Bible is silent about it.